Well, I'm glad you're here. I'll say it again, say it every time. That this is my favorite place to be. Not because East Point is great, but because we as believers get to get together as the body, right, and worship Him. This is the greatest place to be. At this time of Christmas, just like Chris said last week, this is his favorite time of year. This is my favorite time of year, mainly because I want all of you to bring me a present. And once you do, I will be happy. But other than that, no, this is the greatest time of the year, right? This is incredible for us as believers in Jesus Christ that we get to take a little bit of time and honor Him and proclaim Him as the King of the Kings, right? As the Lord of Lords, as all things in all control and in all power. So like we should do this all the time, right? We should do this every day of the year. This shouldn't be anything more special than any other. But it is because it's a specific time that we have intentionally carved out in our culture, right? Does that make sense? So I was a couple of weeks ago, right after Thanksgiving, I was hanging some Christmas lights on my house, and it was a little bit terrifying, a little bit afraid and fearful. And one of my friends pulled up, and I'm not going to tell you her name because a lot of you know her, and she's great. Don't take that the wrong way. She's great. But her husband was one of my college roommates, so that narrows it down a little bit to some of you. But we're talking, and she's like, man, you got a big job ahead of you looking at where I was at, you know. And I was like, yeah, I'm a little stressed out about this right now, mainly because I hadn't put lights on like the tallest part of my house yet. And so we're talking and her response to me at one point was something of this nature, and hear this like I say it, okay? It was, we don't do lights because my husband doesn't want us to try to make this time any more special than any other day of the year. Okay, so like Paul kind of has this little diatribe where he goes on and he says, if Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, every day should be amazing, like Christmas time, right? So like she's talking and then she leaves and I'm on my house, and that's just like kind of resonating with me as I'm on the house, spending hours up there on the house, and I'm thinking, if this time is so great, why are we as believers not making every day this special, right? That's kind of like a gut punch kind of thought process. For us as believers, this is a time of year when we intentionally want to proclaim who Jesus is. We're very specific about it, and we don't want anybody to take it away from us. We don't want anybody to take how awesome this time of year is. But yet, what about in like July? Should we not be doing the same thing in July? Should we not be proclaiming Jesus, the babe, the King of Kings, as the King of Kings at that time as well? So that's kind of been something that's been haunting, isn't a right word, but it's just been echoing in my heart recently, right? So like, if this is really special, and it is, then we should make this all the time, right? Right? Anybody else agree with that or no? I'm on an island by myself. I would ask Billy, but he already stepped out. So, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? And because of that, because of how good that is, because of how amazing that is, we have the opportunity to be here and to worship and to proclaim Him, right? Does that make sense? This is fantastic. Last week, Chris, as we started Advent, talked about the babe, right? The babe, the son of Mary, right? And talked about who He was and what He was and what He did for us, right? So this week, as we're continuing to move through Advent, we're talking about Jesus who came to the earth to take away the sins of the world, right? This is incredible times. We're going to focus on a few people that were a part of that nativity, if you want to follow me there, okay? We're going to talk about the shepherds a little bit. We're going to be in Luke 2. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke 2, and it's already up there. But we're going to be talking about these guys just for a little bit here, about some of the things that they experienced and what they saw and what they heard and their life, right? Does that make sense? So let's read real quick. I'm going to start in verse 8. Okay? It says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." We're going to pause right there. This story is an incredible moment in the lives of just a few people. This story that happened, this story that took place, is an incredible moment in the lives of these shepherds. Okay, these guys, they were not like the well-respected people in the community necessarily. Okay, does that make sense right now? They were shepherds. These were people that were out in the field doing a task type job, right? They were not scholars. They were not well-learned. They didn't have this huge education platform. They didn't have letters after their name, you know, MBA, doctorate, PhD. They didn't have letters. These guys were not the letter holders, right? These guys were just guys. They were just common guys. They were downtrodden type guys. They were guys that were looked down upon in many people in their circle, in their community, okay? These people were not the well-versed or well-learned people in this society. Does that make sense what I'm saying? When we come into this place, right, when we come in here, if I was standing up here talking, or if Mr. Roberts, not Chris, but his dad, were up here, or even Chris, and we were all talking, this mic is driving me crazy right now, I apologize. If we're all talking, got any more of that tape back there? If we're all up there talking, which guy are you going to listen to the most up here, right? Probably like Chris because he has letters after his names, or Mr. Roberts because he's way more super intelligent than I am, right? I'm like the last guy that you're going to be listening to up here, right? And just like that, or actually worse than that, these shepherds out in the field were just guys. They were just normal guys out in the field watching their flocks. And what happened to them? Why is it important that what took place for them, why is that even brought up in the story? Why does it matter what the shepherds experienced? And here's where I think it's crucial. Luke is very good about pointing out kind of the downtrodden, right? The people who were less looked down upon, the people who weren't as important in their story. So Luke does a good job at this time, okay? Hear what I'm saying here. Luke does a good job of pointing out the women in the story, right? Who were looked down upon at this time. Luke does a good job of pointing out the shepherds that were in the field. These were people who were looked down upon. Why? Why are we pointing these people out? Why do they matter? And I think here's where it's crucial. It's because Jesus is trying to make it known that He is coming for all people. He's not just coming for the high people. He's not just coming for the kings and the princes. He's coming for all people. He's coming for the troubled and the downtrodden and the hurting people and the people who are looked down upon in society. He wants them all, right? He wants them all. He wants to wrap them all up and bring them all with Him. So one question that I want to bring up today is have you ever felt like to be kind of a marginalized type person? Have you ever felt to be the downtrodden type person? Have you ever felt looked down upon because of your position in life? And if you have, there is hope for you. The same hope that Luke is pointing out is why he's talking about these shepherds who were out in the field. These people who were not valued in society. It's important because it didn't matter their upbringing, right? It didn't matter their social background or their economic type background. Jesus came for all people. And that is crucial, that is important for all of us to focus on as we begin today, okay? Jesus came for you, and He came for me, and He came for the guy that lives under a bridge in downtown Oklahoma City, and He came for the guy that sweeps floors for a living, and He came for the guy that's the CEO of his company. He came for all people. Jesus came for all of us. And He came because He loved us, okay? Look back at verse 9 with me, if you will, real quick. It says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Okay, so we're kind of in like terrifying moments here for the shepherd, right? We're kind of in fearful points of life right here. And it says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Okay, it tells us very specifically, right? They were afraid when this happened, right? These guys are out on a mountaintop watching these shepherds, and electricity isn't around yet, right? So maybe they have fire going, but light isn't really, like, they're not turning on a light switch. But all of the sudden, out of nowhere, the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is an incredible moment in history, and mainly for those shepherds, it's an incredible moment because they were terrified. And I don't just mean like a little bit scared, like they were terrified. This may be a little crass in it, but like this is kind of like mess your pants kind of terrified. They're afraid because nothing like this has ever happened to them, right? This isn't a common occurrence, right? We're not sitting around in this room very, like, are we just sitting here and the lights turn on and it's like, I'm not going to say singing because that verse doesn't say singing, but like heavenly hosts are proclaiming glory to God in the highest. I mean, has that ever happened to you? Anybody in here? It hasn't happened to me. But there's a couple of times in Scripture where it talks about the glory of God shining down on people, okay? And if you look in Exodus, you don't have to turn there, but Exodus 34, there's a really cool story in Exodus 34. Who do we learn about in Exodus that I'm going to bring up right here? Anybody? Moses. What happened to Moses when he went up on the mountain and he saw God? His face was shining, right? Weirdly. This is strange because when he comes down off the mountain, like the people are looking at him and they're so like, what is wrong with your face that he puts a veil over his face to cover it, right? Because the glory of God was shining through him, right? Because Jesus is the King of the kings and the Lord of lords, and all of His glory and all of His power is too much for us to comprehend. We can't understand Him being as great as He is. So when we're here on earth and we're talking about this baby that came in a manger, I don't know exactly what we picture, but we just picture like, oh, sweet baby, you know? But this is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. This is the guy that when Moses just got a glimpse of him, like his face was shining. That's bizarre, right? Has anybody in here's face ever shined? Shone? Shining? Anyone? Mine has not done that before. And I'm pretty certain that if it was right now that you guys would walk out and go, something is wrong with Josh. Something is strange with him up there. His face looks like it's glowing, right? It would be awkward. It would be strange. There's another guy in the New Testament in Acts. Acts 22. The name is Saul at the time. His name, we know him as Paul, right? What happened to Saul on the Damascus Road? He's what? He got blinded by the light. What light did he get blinded by? The glory of the Lord, right? It was shining in his face. And Saul was a guy who knew he knew the Torah, right? He knew the law. It was within him. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was a guy that knew everything that there was to know about the Bible, but he didn't know Jesus, right? And when he's on the Damascus Road, Jesus appears before him And it's another moment where it's unlike any other moment in history, but it just slaps him in the face. And he's like, all of that information that I had in here, I had information, but I didn't have a relationship with God because I didn't know who Jesus was. But he's on that Damascus road, and what happens? The glory of the Lord shone before him. And he was afraid, right? And the people that were with him were afraid. This isn't a normal, everyday occurrence. When the glory of God shines in people's face, it is a terrifying experience for them, right? It's terrifying. And these angels come before these guys that weren't well learned, right? They didn't have a lot of book knowledge. These weren't the educated guys, right? These were the guys that could go out and could keep the sheep contained, right? These were these guys. They were just guys. They were guys that were just normal, everyday people. And they're sitting on a mountain. They're tending the flocks at night. They're protecting the sheep for their community. And nobody looks upon them like they have very much interest in this world. They're not looked upon highly. And the glory of God shines in their face. And they're afraid, right? They are afraid, and rightly so. They are afraid because this angelic being, and we've talked about this a number of times in here, the precious moments didn't come out of the sky and sit beside them with wings, right? This was an angel of the Lord, whatever that may look like, that we don't know because we haven't seen, right? We have not seen an angel in here, I don't think. But if we did, I feel like we would be terrified because these are beings that have been in the presence of God, right? And what do they come down and say? After verse 9, it says, "And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear." And this is what the angel says to them: "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for" who? All people. Will be for all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with that one angel that they were afraid of already a multitude. And I don't know what number multitude means. Okay? I'm not a math person. But multitude means more than one. Okay? There are a ton of them in the sky. And what do they say? "Glory to God in the highest." And we picture this. Me and Chris had this conversation a minute ago, and I don't want to derail anything here. But we kind of picture this in song, but it doesn't necessarily say song there. So together, there's these angelic beings, and they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." This is their cry, right? This is their battle cry. This is what they're saying. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're warrior angels, but they're these heavenly hosts, these beings that have been in the presence of God. And what do they say about it? Because they've been in His presence. "Glory to God in the highest. All glory on earth be to Him," is what they're saying. "And on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." This is an incredible moment in the history of the world. And it happened to these guys who were downtrodden. It happened to these few guys that were downtrodden and not looked highly upon. If we go back up into verse 11 again, it says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A lot of times when we hear that "Christ the Lord," we read over it quickly, right? We don't even have to pay attention to the word. We just kind of glance over that phrase because it's what we've heard our whole life, right? We've heard that our whole life, right? Has anybody ever been on any of those, you've seen those like snapshots on Facebook where there's like half the letters are missing from words, or they're flipped around funny and there's numbers and your brain can read it anyway, right? Anybody ever seen that? A few of you? Okay, so like that's kind of what we do when we read "Christ the Lord," right? It's just kind of normal to us. It's just kind of average. It's just kind of, yeah. It doesn't have a lot of standing for us. But what they're saying is, this is the King of the world. The guy that holds everything in His hands. This is Him coming to the earth in the form of a baby. And I'm telling you about it because I want you to go see Him. That's an incredible moment in history. I'm gonna take a small detour here. I talked about Luke bringing up other people, but this Christ the Lord picture that's being mentioned here, if you go back into chapter 1 of Luke, let me read this real quick. This is Mary and Elizabeth, okay? And it says, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth, right? This is John the Baptist's mother, right? And greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, what happened to the baby? What happened to John the Baptist inside? She was pregnant. He jumped, right? The baby inside recognized the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is an incredible picture. But not only that, but this is what it says. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is what she says. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" This is the same picture of Lord here that we just had that the angels proclaimed. So this woman who's pregnant with her baby, right? Mary walks in and she's pregnant also. And John the Baptist jumps, right? He jumps inside there. And it's really this weird moment. But what does Elizabeth say to her at that moment? What does she say? She's like, "Why are you even coming to see me? The King of Kings and the Lord of the world is inside of you, and you are greeting me." Like, she is blown away by this, right? This isn't kings and knights times when you called somebody my lord, right? This is a different kind of lord that Elizabeth is recognizing is in Mary, right? There is an incredible story going on here that we just take it for granted sometimes that Jesus is the Lord of Lords. He is Christ the Lord. He's above all things. And what did he choose to do? He chose to come to this earth and die for us, right? For us. Even the most looked down upon people, even the most marginalized, even the greatest people on earth, for all people, Jesus came to show who he was. Glory to God. This is the highest expression of his love and his mercy. All things about the Bible are summed up in this. The highest expression of God's love and mercy is shown because of his son Jesus, right? Because we as humans are at war with God, right? We are at war. We are battling with him every moment of our lives. We are at odds with him. We have nothing but disgust for him and distaste and disdain. But what does he do for us in our disobedience and in our hatred of him? He sent his son to die for us. And because of his son, we can be at peace with God. Okay? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. In Isaiah chapter 9, I'm going to jump back there real quick. There is a passage that most of you have heard before, and probably everybody who's been in church. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Why is this important? Why is this peace name so important? It doesn't just mean that he's walking around and he's a kind and he's a peaceful person and he doesn't want to have arguments with people, right? Is anybody in this church ever have arguments in their house? Anybody? Is my family the only one? My car on the way to church on Sunday mornings is the only one where there's arguments about what seat we get to sit in, things like that? Just mine? Okay, good. I'm glad y'all are all way better than us. Peace is something that is not very evident on this earth, right? It's not evident, right? We are all battling. We are all battling with one another. We are all battling with God every moment of the way. We want nothing to do with peace because of sin, right? Sin has been brought into this world, and because of that sin, there is death and hate and hurtfulness and no rest, right? Because we're always fighting. We're always fighting. That can be in here. That can be in my truck about what seat we get to sit in with my kids. That can be between countries. That can be in any area of life. There is war and there is hatred happening, right? But the King of Kings came, and he came to bring peace to this world. This world was not created to be filled with hatred. This world was not created to be filled with war and disdain and hate. It was created to have peace and to be at peace with God. But sin came into the world and it's put us at odds with him, right? But because of what Jesus did, because Christ the Lord, right? Not lowercase letters, but big capital letters. Christ the Lord came to bring peace to the earth. And that peace needs to resonate in all of our hearts today, right? Especially at Christmas time, right? If we are believers, especially now. But at all moments of our life, we should be the people that are seeking peace in this world. And how do we find peace? What is the answer to peace in this world? Is it more money? Is it a better job? Is it some kind of trade agreement between countries? Is that what brings it? No. It's only Jesus, right? Only Jesus is the offerer of peace. And that peace or that unrest that lives inside of us can manifest itself in a lot of different ways, right? That unrest can be fighting with a family member. That unrest can be fighting with a spouse. That unrest can be just a constant battle between our soul, between what is good and what is of this earth, right? Flesh and spirit is constantly battling, and it's at unrest. And if you don't feel it, something is going wrong in you. If you don't feel that battle between your soul and the flesh, then something is wrong and you need peace in your life. But if you don't feel that battle taking place, then I would be concerned and I would be on my knees and I would be praying that Jesus would come and take away the flesh, right? If I don't feel any pull away from the flesh, then something is not right inside of me. I am at odds with God. I am at odds with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one day he is returning, right? He came as a baby in the manger, but he is coming back to take that which belongs to him, right? He is coming back, and it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Who's going back with him? Those with whom he is pleased, right? Not the whole earth, not the whole world. So we, as believers in him, we need to get beyond ourselves, and because of that peace that's inside us, we need to go out into this world and we need to shine the light of Jesus Christ, right? We need to be that vision for this world because this world doesn't know him. The guy on the street corner that needs $5 to eat doesn't know him. Your dad doesn't know him. Your sister doesn't know him. There are people all over this earth that do not know him. And how are they going to know him? They're going to know him because the life that you live, because the peace that they see in your life, because the fact that you have surrendered to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because the glory of God has shone upon your face. And because he has shone upon your face, you get to be the light that goes out into the world now. You are that light. Because you have heard the good news, you are the light. So we have to go, right? These shepherds, what did they do after they experienced this moment on the mountain? Did they sit up on the mountain and just talk about it with themselves? They just camp out, man, that was so cool. Like that first one came and like I was afraid. And one of them's like, no, like I wet myself. Like one of them says that. And did they just sit there at that point? What did they do? It wasn't just a cool story for them. Yeah, I was afraid when it was just one of them. But then when there was the multitude that came out, I was really afraid. But because of Jesus, because of this peace that came, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I feel like we need to do something now. What are we going to do? When the angels of the Lord went away from them, the shepherds said to one another. This is their exact words, right? These are the uneducated men. These are the guys that don't know what they're supposed to do. They're not well versed in much at all other than watching the flocks. This is what it says. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They immediately recognized what had taken place, right? And they immediately left and went to find the baby. They wanted to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They wanted to experience more of what they saw on the mountain. Where was that going to happen at? Was that going to happen if they stayed on the mountain? It was when they went to find the baby, right? When they went to find the baby, they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So like this is a pretty cool moment right here also, okay? When they went and they found Mary and Joseph, what did they do? Did they just walk in and be like, hey, cool baby? What did they do? They told Mary and Joseph the story that had happened, right? We were sitting on a mountain and all of a sudden there was this bright light like nothing we've ever experienced. We don't know what electricity is, but it's brighter than anything that's powered by electricity. This is the King of the world came in Him. That is an incredible moment. So I've been at the hospital a few times with a few people from this room and in other places in my life that have had a baby, right? And what happens when you go to see the baby, right? You hold the baby, right? You kiss the baby on the forehead, you know, maybe you don't touch the baby with your hands because you don't want to give them germs, all that kind of stuff. That's fine. You put gloves on, you wash, whatever. But you experience it. And what do you tell the parents when you get up there? Like, you're excited with them, right? You're excited for them, and you tell them good things that are happening and good. And so this is what the shepherds did, right? But their story is way cooler than anything I could ever tell you if you're in that situation. I can't come to the hospital and be like, I'm so glad you had your baby. Last night, an angel came in my room. And he was talking about Jesus. And that's it. He can't do that for me. But he did that for these guys, right? He did that for these guys. And they experienced something unlike anything that any of us will ever experience. And it is recorded in Luke. And Luke tells us this greatness. And he's including these people that aren't just the powerful, right? They're not just the rich. These are the normal guys. And he's bringing them up. And I think verse 19 is one of my favorite parts of this whole thing. And this is what it says. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Like, what is she thinking right now, right? What is happening in her life, right? The shepherds, they experience something great and they tell Mary about it. And she, I mean, her heart is exploding with joy, right? This is the King of the world. This is who we've heard about our whole life because our culture is talking about a coming Messiah, right? For these people, they knew that a Messiah would be coming at some point, but this is Him. This is it. Nothing like this will ever take place again. This is it. The King of Kings came. And He gave Himself up for you and for me so that we could have peace with God. Christ the Lord came. And because He came, we have hope in Him. And this time of year is an incredibly special time. And it's amazing because we can spend time with our family. We can spend time with co-workers. We can spend time with all kinds of people. We can spend time with people in line at Target and Walmart. And we can shine the light of Jesus in them, right? We have that opportunity right now. So I think I've told you this before, and this is a little story. Has anybody ever watched the Peanuts Christmas story? Anybody? A few of you? Okay. So when that little play is taking place, what's the guy with the blanket? Linus. What does Linus always have? His blanket. Why does he have his blanket? Security, right? When Linus is in that situation, he's on the stage and he starts reading Luke 2, right? Not reading it, he starts quoting it from memory, right? And what does he do when he's quoting that? He drops the blanket, right? He lets go of that need for that security because Christ the Lord is all security he needs. And that is a strange little story to bring up right now. But it is 100% truth for us in this place. This world is scary, and it is painful, and it is hard. And I cannot express by myself all the heartache that all of us in this room have experienced, right? We've all experienced pain. We've all experienced hurt on different levels. I cannot say it for you. We all have experienced it, and we're still experiencing it, right? Because of sin in this world. But we have the opportunity to know the Prince of Peace. We have the opportunity because God, in all of His glory, in the greatness of His glory, by sending His Son to the earth for us, we have the opportunity to have peace in our lives. We can let go. We can drop all the insecurity that we have, right? We can let it all go. And we can allow Jesus to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our life. And that doesn't mean we'll never face pain again. That doesn't mean that we will be rich with money. And that doesn't mean that we will never experience heartache. But what it means is that in life, in real life, in eternal life, we have hope and we have peace because of Jesus. Does that make sense? These shepherds, these guys in the field who nobody thought twice about, got to see a portion of God's glory when the angels came down. And then they got to go meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in a manger. And because of Him, they are part of the greatest story on earth. And we today can sit here and we can think back about their life and what they experienced. That is an incredible testimony about who they are and what they were. They went immediately to find the baby. And they proclaimed the truth of what the angels had told them. And today, we are here in this place and we have the same opportunity. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, has made Himself known to us. And because of that, we need to go out into this world and be difference makers. Because of that, we need to shout it out and proclaim His truth above all things, right? I don't mean send a chain letter. I don't mean anything like that. I mean we need to physically be in somebody's face proclaiming the love of Jesus to them. Does that make sense? Jesus wants nothing more than for us to be at peace with Him. And once we experience that peace, He wants us to share it with other people. If He didn't want us to have peace with Him, He wouldn't have sent His Son to die for us. He wouldn't have done it. But because He loves us, this is what He did. It was so important. It was such an incredible time that the King of Kings was coming down to the earth. That not only did He come, right? But all the people who had experienced Him in heaven, all these angels, they came down to talk about how great He was. It was a spectacular moment in history, in the history of the world. And these angelic beings came down to proclaim who He was because they know who He is. I'm gonna say a prayer in a couple of minutes, and I'm gonna ask you guys to stand up with me. And I want you to think about during this time, during all the chaos, during all the things that we experience, during all the just the chaos of Christmas, if that's fair to say, may we sit back and may we be peaceful in the light of who Jesus is. And may we proclaim His goodness. May we be like the shepherds who experienced God, who saw God as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Stand up with me and let's pray.